the supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday 5 things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Almighty, dear brothers and sisters, Salamu alaikum. You're listening to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us under the topic of Palestine. Today, Wednesday, is the 14th of Shawwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 5th of Khordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 26th of May, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran and we listen to chapter Furqan, verse 19.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. فقد كذبوكم بما تقولون فما تستطيعون صرفا ولا نصرا ومن يظلم منكم نذقه عذابا كبيرا.
So they will deny you, disbelievers, in what you say, and you cannot avert punishment or find help. And whoever commits injustice among you, we will make him taste a great punishment.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Undoubtedly, the Quranic word "zulm," oppression, has got an extensive concept. Though the subject of the verse is polytheism, which is one of the clear extensions of oppression, yet it does not abolish the generality of the concept of the verse. Meanwhile, the purpose of deities is whether human deities such as Christ or devil deities such as jinn or angels, each of which had been selected by a group of pagans for worshipping since they have common sense and intellect, they can be questioned. As long as Palestine remains oppressed, the world is devoid of justice. Palestine is located in a geographical region open to all scenarios, and Israel's claim on Jerusalem is not new. Divided by the UN in 1947, followed by Israel declaring its independence as a state a year later, Palestine has since tried to work with the UN to protect its future. As the Israeli territory on the map grew over the years, the Palestinians' region on the map became smaller and smaller. Since the 1950s, Palestine's cause has been on the minds of Arab rulers, who motivated their people with the image of Palestine. However, Arab rulers have betrayed the Palestinians' plight, though Arabs themselves still hold Palestine close to their heart.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. Why is Palestine so important for Muslims? The Zionists believe that, the whole region belongs to them. And there are two indications in this regard. A first interpretation is that they say that from Nile to Euphrates, Nile in Egypt up to Euphrates in Iraq belong to Zionists. But this is one interpretation. No, it has another, interpretation. It means that, some extremist Zionists say that from the Nile to the Euphrates certainly belongs, the whole region belongs to Zionists. No, they stretch this line the other way around. If you imagine that, not only from Egypt to Iraq belongs to them, but rather from the Egypt, move around the globe, until again you reach the Euphrates from the other way around, They say that, they imply that the whole world belongs to them. And at the same time, we must say that Zionists intend to occupy over there and to colonialize, all regions, all governments, all people, and this is because they regard themselves as the carefully selected people And they say that they've been selected by God, and it's the right to rule over there in the world. Another one is that, first of all, Zionists are wealthy people, and they are very organized. Another one is that they wanted to colonize, I mean, everywhere, and to strengthen the rule, I mean, wherever they are. And we find that when they came, they captured Palestine. And personally, I remember, I mean, when they entered Lebanon and occupied Lebanon. And soon after, they imposed an agreement on the Lebanese government that the Lebanese government was obliged to obey whatever Zionists would say. But fortunately, after a short period of time, a very short period of time, we find that in Lebanon, Muslim people, and mainly the Hezbollah, reacted against the Zionists, and actually they became the Hezbollah in Lebanon became the nightmare for Zionists, and because of this, we find that Zionists received the very unforgettable lessons from the Hezbollah.
I will not fall, but I'm forgotten. I'm standing tall. I feel abandoned, stand elevated, blessed by the prophets, led by the greatest, and peace it was promised. Can you hear my cry? Can you feel my hurt? One day the sun will rise over this land.
Listen to Palestinians. It is important to elevate and promote the voices of Palestinians. The people of Palestine are not voiceless and do not need other people to represent their struggles for them. They are able to vocalize their struggle and their hopes for the future. They do not need to be spoken for or at. This includes representing them as a monolith or co-opting the struggles. While the recent images of the attacks have shown many Palestinian Muslims, not all Palestinians are Muslims. There are many Palestinian Christians who are subjected to the same abuses and oppression as the Muslims. It is important to recognize that. Secondly, some people have used the hashtag Palestinians Lives Matter or hashtag Free Palestine to raise awareness of what is happening. Palestine belongs to Palestinians. We believe that all Palestinian lands belong to the Palestinians. Those who try to wipe Palestine off the map of the world made a mistake. Such a thing will not happen. Palestine will survive. The usurpers have occupied Palestine for a few decades, but there is no doubt the Palestinian lands will be restored to the people of Palestine and to the world of Islam. And this will happen. The people of Palestine are vigilant. Palestine cannot be partitioned. Palestine belongs to the Palestinians entirely. The Islamic Republic presented the solution to the Palestinian issue several years ago. The solution to the issue of Palestine is not the kind of solutions that America and other such countries present. Such solutions will prove ineffective. The solution is to hold a referendum among the people of Palestine. Any government that receives the majority of the votes in the referendum will rule the entire Palestinian lands. Then that government will decide what to do with the Zionists who immigrated to Palestine, and this depends on the decision of the government that will be elected by the people of Palestine.
What we're seeing right now is awareness and awakening on a massive global scale, like nothing ever done before. And inshallah, we ask God that the relief for the believers, the relief for those who are oppressed, comes soon and swiftly. So, you know, at the end of the day, what we're experiencing right now, you know, oppression, murder, mass, you know, brutal force being used against weaker populations is nothing new. In essence, the Islamic community, when it was first formed, had to fight against a force which was larger than it in size. It was larger than it in number. It was stronger and better equipped. However, one thing that they did not have was heart. One thing that they did not have was loyalty. The disbelievers in their own army were willing to sell each other out easily, whereas the believers were always willing to stick to one another. Nothing substitutes for loyalty. Nothing substitutes for trust. Nothing substitutes for the bonds of brotherhood. And we may be thousands of miles away, my friends, but that doesn't mean that we cannot come to the aid of our brothers and sisters.
Inshallah, we continue this topic till another episode of today's special Fi Amanillah.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and let us start the day with a thought-provoking statement from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, regarding violence and oppression. Violence against the servants of Allah is the worst provision for the hereafter.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc. You wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In continuing our discussion on the hadith and the tradition of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in which he mentions the traits and he makes a simile in calling them the battalions or the components of the army of the intellect or the aql, and on the flip side and on the other side, obviously, those components and traits that are the battalions of jahl, or ignorance, or foolishness, as some people translate it as. We have reached this segment, and the Imam mentions again two traits, one for the aql, one for jahl. The trait that the Imam mentions for aql is known as saf, or what can be translated as magnanimity. That trait and characteristic that an individual has, in which when things are done to him that are wrong, when things are said to him, and so on and so forth, he lets it go. However, it must be noted here that it is important that a person stands up for their right. It is not that a person continuously just forgives. No. This is when a person has the ability to take revenge, has the power to do so, but he does not. This is what this term means, this magnanimity. And this is where it is shown. It is not when a person is being oppressed and he leaves the oppressor. You don't have the ability to take revenge. You need to then do something in order to get your right back. This is something different. It's not that, oh, you know, I am being at this time magnanimous. This is not what it means. It means when a person has the ability to take revenge, he does not. And on the other side, obviously, we see that this can become clear from the opposite, which is intiqam. A person is always just vengeful, and he just wants to take revenge on that person, even though taking revenge or not taking revenge will have no impact on him, but his trait and his characteristic and his soul will only come to ease when he takes revenge on that person, even though he doesn't have to. Like, for example, we have the story of one of the great companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, Malik al-Ashtar rahmatullah alayh, who when he was walking through the streets and a person spat at him and he called him, you know, bad names. At this point, this particular companion of Imam Ali alayhi salam, one of the great companions of the Imam,
had the ability to take revenge right there and then. He was the governor. He had a high position. And he could have done whatever he wanted to this person. Because the person who insulted him did not know who Malik was, and he insulted him in such a way. When he found out who he was, he searched for him and he ran to try and apologize. And he found Malik in the masjid. And Malik, you know, said to this individual after this person came to him and apologized, said, "Don't worry, I prayed for you and I prayed for your forgiveness." This is what we mean by saf. That he had the ability, the position and the power to do so, but he did not. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to follow in the footsteps of the companions of the Imams alayhim as-salam. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. Today, in the first part, we all are going to listen to the recitation of verses 16 to 21 of Surah Al-Qaf, recited by Brother Abbas Hashemi, an Iranian reciter. Dear audience, let's listen to it, preceded by its English translation.
And indeed, we have created man, and we know what his own self whispers to him, and we are nearer to him than his jugular vein. When the two receivers receive, one sitting on the right and one on the left, not a word does he utter, but there is a watcher by him ready. And the stupor of death will come in truth. This is what you have been avoiding. And the horn will be blown. That will be the day whereof warning had been given. And every person will come forth, along with one to drive and one to bear witness.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ إِذْ يَتَلَقَّى الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ شمال قعيد ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد وجاءت سكرة الموت بالحق ذلك ما كنت منه تحيد ونفخ في الصور ذلك يوم الوعيد وجاءت كل نفس معها صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Welcome back to your audience of IRIB English Radio. You're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to was a recitation of verses 16 to 21 of Surah Al-Qaf, recited by Brother Abbas Hashemi, the great Iranian reciter. Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This reciter, Brother Abbas Hashemi, is one of the best reciters of Iran. He has also won an international Quran competition that was held in Iran. He placed first in that competition. And it's very interesting that this reciter, even though he does not use the Jawab or the Jawab register of his voice that much, I haven't heard many times that this reciter has used Jawab al-Jawab.
The highest register.
Yeah, but yet he is a very successful reciter, and he was actually able to win the Quran competition. And I don't think he used Jawab al-Jawab in his last recitation in the finals. Yet he was, he won the competition. So this is very important. It's not mandatory that a Quran reciter uses the Jawab al-Jawab register. Perhaps he doesn't have that register. His voice has only two registers. Or maybe he doesn't want to use that register for whatever reason. For example, Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq al-Minshawi, he rarely used Jawab al-Jawab of his voice. Same with Sheikh Abdul Basit. He also rarely used Jawab al-Jawab. And still, there were very good reciters, very famous reciters, and popular reciters of the Quran. Okay, so let's talk about the tajweed now.
Good idea.
وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا. We have two qalqala, one in the dal of laqad and another one in khalaqna. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقُنَا الْإِنسَانَ. See, if you don't apply the qalqala, there would be like an abrupt pause in your recitation, which would disrupt the flow and rhythm of your recitation. So we could say that qalqala is an assimilatory mechanism. Assimilation means a specific mechanism in phonetics that allows us to pronounce the letters and the words more easily.
Yes.
This is the meaning of assimilation.
That is, that you becomes that you.
For example, yes. Of course, that's not a mandatory assimilation, but for example...
In English, there's no mandatory...
English, yeah, we have assimilation in English as well. We have it in all languages.
Yeah.
For example, information. We don't say information. We say information. We have a kind of ikhfa here, even in English. Information.
Information.
The N is not pronounced completely. Okay. Now, in Arabic, let's try pronouncing this phrase without qalqala. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ. See how messed up that sounded?
Yeah, just like other rules of tajweed.
Especially... qalqala and it also ishbar. Ishbar is also very important, and we have ishbar in this verse.
And idgham, I think, is a kind of assimilation.
Yeah, idgham is assimilation, ikhfa is assimilation. Most of the rules are actually assimilatory. For example, the sun letters.
They are to actually facilitate our
facilitate recitation. Ash-shams. Is it easier to say ash-shams or al-shams? Al-samas. It doesn't. It's difficult to say it that way. So we have وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا. See how it's really heavy. It's like there's something.
It's breaking.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good. We have another one. We have, I just talked about the إِشْبَعْ of how Blamir, again, that's also helps us pronounce and read the Quran with greater ease. For example, we have وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ وَنَحْنُ. The thing with إِشْبَعْ is that if you don't apply the إِشْبَعْ of the Hal Dhamir, there would be too many short vowels right after another with no long vowel in between.
And would you actually elaborate more on the concept إِشْبَعْ?
إِشْبَعْ means whenever the Hal Dhamir is pronounced like a long vowel. For example, بِهِ is pronounced bihi. Nafsuhu is pronounced nafsuhu. Now let's try reading this phrase without ishba. See how difficult it gets. Wa na'lamu ma tuwaswisu bihi nafsuhu wa nahnu. See, did that even sound right?
It is not satiated, actually.
That's right. You have to make sure that the ha'u dhamir is pronounced with ishba. Otherwise, you would recite the Quran with difficulty. وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ وَنَحْنُ. See?
Yes.
Now recite it with إِشْبَعْ. وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ.
And it's more rhythmic.
It's rhythmic, and it's not too many short vowels right after another. There's a long vowel that balances.
Yes, of course.
The number of short vowels and long vowels. Verse 17, إذ يتلقى المتلقيان. إذ يتلقى المتلقيان. We have two qafs, which the first one is pronounced with more tafkhim, the second one is pronounced with the least amount of tafkhim.
Thank you, dear brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali, talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inshallah, today we talk about the necessity of tadabbur, reflection and contemplation when you read the Quran. There is an ayah in Surah Sad, verse 29, that we had also yesterday when Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was talking about recitation. كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. The book that we have sent down to you, which is blessed, so that they would ponder, they would reflect on its verses, and so that the people of intelligence, the people who are thoughtful, would remember and become alert. So Quran itself says that we need to have tadabbur.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Call of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
فيلم فيه
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked.
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example.
Self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism. This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Nasir Rafi'i. Please stay tuned.
گناه عمده است تو روایت داریم که اینها فشار قبر میاره که حالا
In a narration we read that there are three sins which causes the pressure of grave on the first hours after death. These three sins are: first, telling lies; second, backbiting; and third, gossiping about others.
Thank you. خدا رحمت کنه مرحوم شهید ثانی یک کتاب بسیار زیبایی دارد. خواهشم اینه کتاب رو بخونید.
The late Shahid Athani has a beautiful book under the title Kashf al-Ghaiba and Ahkam al-Ghaiba. I really invite all the Muslims to read this book. These days you can find it easily on web and other digital resources too. This book is very good for those who want to be familiar with the negative consequences of sins like gossip, backbite, jealousy, and suspicion. Now, most of you must know that today's world is afflicted with such diseases. Of course, such bad traits have always existed during history. However, nowadays, because of the presence of social media and social networks, these negative traits are spreading more and more among the young generation. Thus, we have to take lots of care regarding our deeds, especially when we are concerned with other fellow brothers and sisters. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Nasser Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents. For humanity. Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We started looking at Islam and how we strive to eradicate racism and prejudice from the hearts of its followers and from the hearts of mankind in general. Among the things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alaihi worked on is that difference and that differentiation and division people have created between color, between black and white. And we did mention the story of Bilal, the person from Abyssinia. He was a black person, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alaihi gave him a prominent position in Islam. And from that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alaihi, he worked on his followers, and he tried to educate them to the fact that the difference between people is not their color, is not their wealth, but their piety, their fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their good work and the action that they do. Amongst the stories that we've been told about the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alaihi, and those who preceded them and those who came after them, one of the companions, he was sent to one of the Coptic leaders in Abyssinia to, you know, talk with them and trying to negotiate terms with them. And that person that was sent, he was black. So his name was Ubad ibn Samit. Ubad ibn Samit was one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alaihi, and he was black. He was a black person. He wasn't a white person. And he was sent as a leader of a group to negotiate between the Muslims and the Coptics who were in Egypt and Abyssinia. When they came in front of the Coptic leader of his time, so obviously this Ubad ibn Samit, he came and he started to talk to that priest or whatever he was. And that guy said to him, "Hold on a second. You're a black person. You should not address me. Let a white man amongst your group address me." So you can see how back in the day they were, you know, they have this opposition. And, you know, to them it's an insult if a black person addresses them and talks to them. But in Islam, Islam eradicated that. So the group that came with him, which the majority of them were white people, they said to him, "You know what? This person, he is the best amongst us when it comes to his logic, and he is the most knowledgeable when it comes to knowledge, and he is our master, and he's better than us. Not only his logic and his knowledge is better, but he was appointed to be our leader, and we have to follow that." And this guy, he got really shocked. He said, "How is it possible that a black person becomes better than you?" And they said to him, "It is not the measure. We don't measure people by their color. Islam does not measure people by their color. Islam measures people by their logic, their understanding, and their piety to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And that's something wasn't very known to them back in the day. And sadly, it's still not known to us as well, that when we see a person of different color, we always automatically look at them as a lower class and or people who are not educated, or even the stereotype that being pushed in the media that they are drug dealers and they are gangsters and they are this and that. Well, that's not true. So you're telling me that white people are better than black people? We don't have white junkies and white gangsters and white murderers? Of course we do. So it's got nothing to do with color. So Islam says it's not the color that matters. It's what is under the skin that matters. And that's how Islam tried to eradicate this problem from the root. Let us take a break, and inshallah we continue this talk.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio, and you are still listening to the program For Humanity. Amongst the things that Islam came with and tried to equalize between people, not only the fact of color, but the fact of wealth as well, where those who are rich, they used to look at those who are poor in a, you know, a very bad way, and they used to enslave them, or you know, they used to, especially back before Islam, they used to give them loans with very high amount of interest, that when the person becomes unable to pay back that loan that's been given to him, he or a member of his family gets taken as a slave. So they say to him, okay, you either pay us the money back, or you become our slave, or you give us one of your daughters or one of your children, one of your sons as a slave. That was a very common practice before Islam. When Islam came, it tried to change that. And for example, you see in the Quran, Allah says in Surah An-Nisa, in verse 135, he says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, oh, who you believe. He says, Kunu qawwamina bilqist, be a group of people that deal with justice. And Allah says, Shuhada alillah, that you bear witness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to matters, he says, even if it is against yourselves. So for example, if you get an argument with somebody, or you're trying to deal with someone, if something you know that it is your fault, Allah says, be fair and admit the fact that it is your fault, and give that witness, even if it's against yourself, or even if it's against your parents or those who are close to you. This is the beginning of the verse. So Allah says, be fair, be just, and give the witness, even if it's against your own selves or your kin. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if that person that you're talking to, or the person that you're trying to negotiate with, if he is poor, Allah says, إِن يَكُنْ غَنِيًّا أَوْ فَقِيرًا, whether he's rich or poor, فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهِمَا, Allah is more in charge of their affair than you. Don't deal with people based on their richness or their poorness, based on their wealth and how fat their bank accounts is. Because sometimes subconsciously, if a person who is rich, he's wearing a nice suit, driving a nice car, and having a fancy big house, we automatically seem to give them more respect than a person who is poor, a person who doesn't have anything. So, for example, if a person wearing a suit walks in the market, you know, you bow to him, you say salam to him, and you give him the greetings. If another person just passes by with, you know, less fancy clothes, or doesn't have a car or a fancy car, we overlook them. Why? Why does this happen? In the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're all the same. It doesn't matter how much the money they have, they're still the same. So you can see that it's still in us as a human being that we still differentiate people and divide people also based on their wealth and based on how much money they have. When Islam came, Allah says, there's absolutely no difference between you. So even when we go back to the story of Bilal al-Habashi himself, he was a slave under a master who was very rich. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came and he says to the master, to me, there's no difference between you and the slave. You're both human beings. What, because you're rich, because you have a position in society that makes it better than him? He said to him, absolutely not. And that concept they did not understand. And sadly, to a lot of people until today, they don't understand that concept. We still respect and give value to those who are rich over those who are poor. And this message, Islam, or this notion, Islam rejects completely. So we need to also keep that in mind when we deal with people, and not to give them respect.